This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, I'm not usually on the same page as Jade Tunchi, but she posted something last week that I can definitely get around. She has revealed that she's already set up her Christmas decorations. Now, she's still waiting on putting up the tree, but basically everything else is there. She's got a table runner. She's got a Christmas light up reindeer. She's gone all out. And I think that this is fantastic and more people should be doing it.
See, I think she's broken a cardinal sin. I'm sorry, but I'm all for Christmas and celebrating it very early, but I think you've got to at least wait until Halloween is over. Also, my boyfriend's birthday is on October 30th, and I feel it's disrespectful to him to put the Christmas tree up before his birthday.
Well, Jade doesn't know that.
I'm saying me personally.
I think after the year that people in New South Wales and Victoria have had, that they can put up their bloody Christmas decorations whenever they want to. I think it signals this exciting end to the year where everyone can start seeing their loved ones and celebrating with each other.
See, I'm with Soph where I think it's a little bit too early because it can actually take away from the magic of Christmas.
I mean, I'm all for going out and buying and preparing at the moment for stuff. So I've been out recently and got a Christmas jigsaw puzzle. I've also got some Christmas cupcake toppers. So I'm sort of dipping my toe into the Christmas spirit at the moment and refreshing some decorations that I need. But I do feel it is a tiny bit early and I feel like a Grinch for saying that.
Sophie, aren't you going to be putting your tree up soon though?
Well, in South Australia, we wait for the Christmas pageant. And now that I'm one of those people with a fake Christmas tree, I'm going to be putting it up early, but I think you do have to wait till November.
I don't remember, but have I mentioned on the podcast how Dale and I are growing our own Christmas trees?
I don't know. I feel like you wanted to, we wouldn't let you mention it, but I think now it's nearly Christmas, so
now it's out there. I feel like it's going to take a little bit of time before you start up your Christmas tree farm because I did see them scorched in the sun.
They're not scorched, they're growing.
Well,
in
there
the
was
sun.
One that was a looked like a stick in a pot.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing. I should really start an Instagram account for the Christmas tree farm so people can follow along the journey.
They'll be ready in 7 years' time.
It's about how like you're in the city and you're stressed out and your life is feeling really like low, but in your heart is a Christmas tree farm.
Jewelry brand Pandora has made a play at the Gen Z market, enlisting Addison Rae and Charlie XCX to promote their personalized jewelry line. But has the global campaign been a success? Firstly, Soph, before we get into it, can you give us a bit of a background about Pandora?
Well, I think it will surprise a lot of listeners because Pandora's actually been around for almost 40 years now. It started out as a family-run jewelry shop in Copenhagen in 1982, and the husband and wife team began on a small scale importing jewelry from Thailand and selling it to consumers. So in 1987, they became a pure wholesaler, and 2 years later, they hired in-house designers and created a manufacturing site in Thailand, which is where they still produce jewelry today. So they really made a name for themselves by producing jewelry that was affordable. They started selling their signature charm bracelets in 2000 and then launched a franchise model in Australia in 2009. It's so funny because we were about 21 at the time, and I remember the Pandora bracelets was the thing to have.
Well, I was going to say, I remember we all got a 21st birthday charm, and it seemed like a really cool thing to have at the time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's pretty crazy because they are now sold in more than 100 countries across the world. So it's definitely evolved into being a very popular brand.
So, Kate, I assume the family are making a lot of money from Pandora. How much are they worth?
Well, 2010 was a massive year for Pandora. As you said, Sophie, in 2009, they started franchising the shops out to different countries around the world, and they became the world's third largest jewelry company in terms of sales. So they were just behind Cartier and Tiffany & Co. And they had a market capitalization of around $27 billion, which I found absolutely incredible. So in 2011, more than one piece of Pandora jewelry was sold every second on average. However, in that same year, the company experienced an 80% fall in their shares after they shifted their focus to higher end designs, which started to alienate their core demographic. And I do remember when Pandora suddenly started getting expensive and they had all those gold charm bracelets that I don't know who was purchasing them.
Well, they seem to really be pushing for that mum market. And I feel like that's why maybe they put their prices up.
No, I think it was more that they wanted to compete with those higher end brands and offer, I suppose, an affordable collection, but then also the higher end. So they quickly realized the mistake they had made and switched back to the more affordable range, which was more popular with the mass market. So they eventually recovered and reported revenue of $19 billion and a net profit of $3 billion in 2014. However, it seems like with such a long history, they have fluctuated in success. So in 2017, their revenue did skyrocket by 15% year on year. However, it then started to have this organic growth slow down. And in 2018, it had a 2% drop and it went on to drop further by 8%. So in 2019, just before the pandemic, they launched an initiative called Program Now to try and jumpstart growth. And they identified this need to start operating as a more unified global company. And a part of this was buying back a lot of the franchisees that they had. And they also hired a new CEO called Andrew Lasik, and he started to head up this program, which was meant to have a 2-year turnaround. However, obviously COVID threw a spanner in the works for Pandora.
Now, in September of this year, Pandora revealed its long-term goal. Amy, can you talk us through what it is?
Yeah, so their aim is to double revenue in the US and triple revenue in China. They announced their aim is to be the largest and most desirable brand in the affordable jewelry market. So with revenue reported in Pandora's 2019 annual report to be $1 billion in the US and $431.8 million in China, that's going to be a lot of jewelry that they're aiming to sell. So to make this plan possible, they're expanding their original facilities in Thailand, as well as building a new facility in Vietnam. And the project is expected to cost $216 million and will allow Pandora to increase its manufacturing capacity by 60%. So this equates to 80 million pieces of jewelry per year.
Is it just me that is shocked with the amount of jewelry that they do produce? Because I know when you go overseas, you know, when you go to Singapore and you see a Pandora, and it is very much a global brand now, but I feel like Pandora, a lot of people gift it to people for their birthday or Christmas. It doesn't feel like something that people are buying all the time.
Think how many charms our mum has. She's got about 3 Pandora bracelets. I feel like it's something that people, they'll buy as gifts, as you said, but sometimes they'll buy themselves something to mark a milestone.
Well, you can hear her jingling from miles away with all their Pandora.
What I found fascinating about Pandora's new strategic plan is their focus on increasing its brand desirability and market share with Gen Zers and millennial consumers. So Pandora CEO Andrew Lasik said, if you look at Gen Z and millennials, by 2025, they are expected to constitute over 60% of the luxury consumption in the world. So we need to sharpen our pens. What do you guys think about their strategy?
I think it's interesting that he uses the word luxury because it kind of contradicts their strategic plan in wanting to be the world's most desirable, affordable jewelry brand. I think it may have something to do with the fact that they've recently brought in an employee from the luxury sector, and I think they're trying to take elements from that sector and then put them into a more affordable option for Gen Zers, considering that Gen Zers don't have what you would assume they wouldn't have a lot of money to spend on jewelry.
The thing is, I actually don't think it's a silly move because we were talking about how we were first introduced to Pandora when we were 21. And how we've continued to purchase Pandora. And they've obviously referenced 2025. So they want Gen Zers and millennials to be buying Pandora now and continuing to buy it as they get older. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a journey. And I think most people, you know, as we said, we were 21 when we first bought Pandora. And I've continued to buy it now 10, 11 years on. So I suppose they're trying to hook in that younger market right away. And a big part of that plan has been to launch the Me collection. And they have enlisted some help of some very famous faces in the Gen Z market. So one of those faces is Addison Rae. Now, she has over 85 million followers on TikTok, and she just debuted in the Netflix movie He's All That. So she is the face of the campaign alongside English singer Charlie XCX. Canadian dancer Dante Colley is also in the campaign, as well as Filipino-British singer-songwriter Beatrice Laus and Italian musician Cecilia Cantarino.
Is it? I don't know who any of those people are. Does that just show that this is not marketed towards me, that I am not in Gen Z?
Yeah, I had no idea who they were, but I did notice in the advertisement that it seems like a great pick because they're all global stars in their own right. And they also are quite diverse. You know, there's different nationalities. They've included a male in the campaign, which I think would be a first for Pandora. So I can see where they're going at it. And so Pandora has had each of their ambassadors create their own edit from the collection to demonstrate how the pieces can be worn to best represent you. So Addison Rae said, "Pandora has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. To work together is a dream because I have so many memories associated with my Pandora pieces, which I've had forever. Plus their stance on encouraging people to be their unique selves is really empowering, and I love that." So Charlie XCX, she does not only just appear in the ad, but she also created a song exclusively for the advertisement called Sweat. And she said the song is all about letting go of inhibitions and being totally free to be who you are.
How much would have Pandora paid to have these girls and guys a part of this? Because
I would hate to think.
Yeah, because if Charlie XCX is creating her own song, my goodness, like how much were these ambassadorships?
It almost seems kind of desperate on their front. I mean, obviously we're hearing that they're doing quite well with revenue, but it does seem like a desperate plea to remain cool.
Yeah, to be relevant. I mean, I can just imagine all the sort of like 40 to 50 year old mums going in the shop and seeing the ads and having no idea who any of the people are.
The thing that's also strange is we were talking about luxury before, and we touched on the fact that the CEO said in 2025, Gen Zers and millennials will make up most of the luxury market. However, this new line doesn't look luxurious to me. It kind of comes across as tacky, and I don't think kids these days want to be wearing tacky charms like this.
Yeah, I did not like the range. I know I'm not the target market, but I do find it ironic because Pandora really seems to have really tried hard to be, as you said, very inclusive and cool and of the minute. However, it does seem pretty desperate. They've come out and said that this collection is meant to empower everyone to be who they want to be. And they've said it's been inspired by Gen Z and is touted as providing endless possibilities of personalization with the aim to encourage self-expression. I find that amusing because I don't really feel like Pandora is that unique. I mean, the whole thing is they're set to produce 80 million more pieces every year. You can't really be that unique if you're having mass-produced pieces.
Yeah, but Kate, it's unique because you have your own bracelet and you can pick what pieces represent you.
I get that, but I feel like it's not really that unique. Well, oh, I'm going to get a 21 charm because I've turned 21.
Look, my Pandora bracelet is very unique. I have a little dog on there to represent Archie.
I noticed that Pandora is getting into YouTube sponsorship too because Anastasia Kingsnorth was sponsored by Pandora.
I feel like a lot of these Gen Zers have never ever worn Pandora in their life. I mean, we have Addison Rae here saying, "Oh, they've been part of my journey throughout my whole life." I call bullshit there.
Their mums probably had to explain to them what it is.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, Soph, that you know the charm bracelets that you and I grew up with, they've actually created a whole new one. So it's more of that link bracelet.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to be interested to see if this campaign actually works. So when they have to report their earnings for 2021 and into 2022, Do you guys think it's going to be a success or not?
No, I don't think it's going to be successful at all. I do think it kind of reeks a bit of desperation, this campaign. And I don't think that millennials and Gen Zers are going to jump on board. I think there's other things that they'd prefer to buy over this.
Look, I don't know if it reeks of desperation. I think it would be, you could more say it was a bit try hard using TikTokers.
Was that not desperate?
No, it's not desperate, but I do wonder what the return on investment is because, as we said before, they must be paying these girls a lot of money and this guy a lot of money to be in the campaign. But will that correlate to sales?
See, I don't think they're being desperate because I actually think they're being smart because if you look at Napoleon Perdez, he had the biggest makeup brand back in early 2000s, and in 2019, he was $22 million in debt and had to shut down in Australia. And he was exactly like Pandora. He had shops everywhere and it was a really well-established brand, but he refused to make the shift towards influencer marketing, which ended up being the end of that brand. So I think it is good that Pandora are changing tact and trying to have a different strategy to target that new generation. I do think that it's like they almost Googled what do Gen Zers think and like, and they've kind of taken it too literally.
Did they give us one fucking source?
I told you to check the bag. I told you, I asked you.
Are you fucking kidding?
Babe, I said.
I checked the bag and I saw one sweet and sour sauce, so I just presumed that they would have given us three like I asked.
No, that McDonald's never gives you what you want.
That's fucking bullshit.
That.
Wow.
That McDonald's never gives you what I asked you to check the bag.
Following rumours that they'd split after unfollowing one another from social media, Skye Wheatley has confirmed she and baby daddy Lockie are in a good place in their relationship. So, can you tell us about this Q&A?
Well, Skye was asked how things are going between the pair in a Q&A, and she said that things are so much better now Lockie has started training at the gym to relieve some stress. I almost felt it was a bit of a pot shot because it's almost putting blame on him. She said that they still have little arguments here and there, which she thinks is normal considering they're dealing with renovations and two kids under three. I feel like they're both being stubborn though, because when you take a look at their Instagram accounts, they still don't follow one another on Instagram. What do you guys think about that?
Maybe it's not a huge deal for Lockie, because I know that Instagram is probably Skye's life, but for someone like Lockie, I feel like he'd be somebody that didn't really care about it.
No, I definitely think it shows that they're pretty petty, because Skye's whole life is Instagram, and the fact that she's not even following her own partner and father of her two kids, like, what's that about? Do you think they haven't refollowed each other because they keep doing, like, following each other and unfollowing each other, that it's people have noted it, so they just kind of are leaving it as it is?
I definitely think that's what it is, because it avoids people creating extra rumors and going to look whether they're following each other or not.
But people must be checking if they're following each other now, because they're not. Like, to me, it would make more sense just to follow one another again.
Oh, it definitely would, but I feel like they don't have the strength to, if they have an argument, to unfollow each other. So it's just like breaking a cycle. Like, we just won't follow each other at all.
Maybe that's become part of their argument. Maybe one of them gets petty during the arguments and always unfollow, so now they're just being so stubborn about it. Well, in this Q&A, Skye also opened up about being diagnosed with ADHD. So she explained that her mum got her tested when she was very young because her teachers noticed that she was struggling to concentrate in class. And she said that her schooling was a very hard time for her, as she never found learning easy like everyone else seemed to do. So she said that at the time, doctors recommended for her to be medicated, but her mum was against it, so she never received medication. And reflecting on it, she said that she is happy about her mum's decision and respects how much her mum helped her learn as a child. And she said that she thinks it's something that makes her unique, and she actually likes it about her personality. And personally, I thought it was good that she was open in speaking about it.
I know we've spoken a lot before about some of the problematic things Skye has done, but one thing I do respect about her is that she is very real and raw on her social media channel.
Well, I also feel like ADHD is something that you only hear about as a child. It's always kids who are misbehaving in class, but you don't generally hear adults talking about having it themselves. So I feel it's something that people could relate to.
I need Courtney to not be so annoying with a stick-up her ass, like, she runs this because she doesn't. She's the least exciting to look at.
Kourtney Kardashian and Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker sent the internet into a spin when they announced they're engaged. After a highly documented turbulent relationship with baby daddy Scott Disick, fans are ecstatic that Kourtney has finally got the happy ending she deserved. Kate, can you tell us about the proposal?
Yeah, well, Travis proposed to Kourtney during sunset on a beach in Santa Barbara, a little bit like Spencer Pratt and Heidi Pratt.
That you remember that very random piece of pop culture.
That's the only thing I can remember about Santa Barbara. Anyway, so sources say that Kourtney had no idea that Travis was going to propose to her that day. So Travis had organized a 50-foot hedge of red roses shaped like a heart and accompanied by candles in glass vessels. Now, for someone who has been looking into the cost of wedding flowers, seeing these roses made me feel physically ill, because this would have cost, I would say, tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, Kate, journalists actually got some florists onto the case to estimate the cost of the flowers. So Ashley Greer, who is the florist best known for working on the Obama's White House Christmas tree, and what a job that would be. So she estimated that there were 5,000 to 6,000 red roses in that installation, and in order to create that look, it would have cost $54,000.
What do we think about that as a proposal in terms of a good, a bad?
Oh, I think it would be great, but there is contention whether this was the original proposal or if it was just put together for the show, because people have spotted cameramen in the background. So it's thought that this might have been a bit of a mock proposal, like we've seen on Keeping Up the Kardashians with Kim before.
Yeah, that's right, because TMZ is reporting that cameras were present for the beach proposal and also the family's dinner after he popped the question. I personally am very excited that we might be seeing this on TV, even if it is manufactured and fake.
Yeah, because I love that this is Courtney's first ever proposal. At 41 years old, she hasn't been engaged before, and they do seem so in love that it'll be really nice to see Courtney actually have her day.
When you guys say TV show, because obviously they're not filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians anymore, what is the TV show?
Well, they're basically going to be doing Keeping Up with the Kardashians 2.0 on Hulu. It sounds like it's going to follow a very similar structure. Did you guys know that Travis Barker was actually on his own MTV reality show called Meet the Barkers? So he's going to fit in perfectly.
Well, I didn't realize that Courtney and Travis were also neighbors for a number of years and really good friends. And there is that line going around about how the first time Travis saw Kim, he said he couldn't take his eyes off her. I feel like he's really wishing he never put that to print.
That's super awkward, especially because I feel like as the sisters of Kim Kardashian, you would have a bit of a complex around it. Now, in regards to social media, Courtney jumped on her Instagram and she shared a number of the beautiful photos and captioned it "forever." I feel like it must be really difficult when you've just been proposed to come up with an appropriate caption. I know, Kate, it took you a little while.
Yeah. I feel like there are some people who have been waiting to be proposed to and they have this banger caption in their head ready to go.
But they're always a bit cringe, like, yes, 1,000 times, or I don't know.
I think, but I mean, forever's quite good. It's just short.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it was good.
Yeah.
He also shared the same caption. And what I did like about Courtney's post is that it seemed really organic because she used kind of blurrier photos that looked like they'd been taken from far away. However, later in the week, she did follow up with some very nice professionally taken photos that did have that candid element, but were obviously more posed.
Now, what do you guys think about the fact that it was actually Kim Kardashian and Kylie Jenner who first shared a photo or a close-up photo of the ring? Do you feel like they were taking her thunder a little bit there?
I mean, Kim's already shared so many of her amazing rings with all her marriages, so I think they should have waited for Courtney. I would have been pissed if you guys stole my thunder and shared something like that.
I don't know if it's stealing her thunder because Courtney had shared that she was engaged. I feel like when I saw their post, I thought, wow, they must be so excited. And it reminded me of Kate when you got engaged because I just remember feeling so happy and so genuinely excited. So maybe it was a little bit of that.
Do you know what though? I also think that sometimes you feel like the wanker, the show off in the photo. So maybe they thought it was less showing off to have a sister share it.
Well, as long as Courtney did agree to it. However, I do think if you're a part of such a massive social media family like the Kardashians, they would realize that a post like that would garner so many millions of likes and be really good for someone's profile. So I think they should have left it to Courtney. So if, can you tell us about her ring? Because it is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I kept hearing this term thrown around about, you know, the fact that Kim said that Courtney was the most uninteresting to look at. And people are saying now that her finger is the most interesting finger to look at out of the Kardashians. She is the only one who is wearing an engagement ring at the moment. So the ring is an enormous oval cut diamond. It also has diamonds around the band and it is predicted to be larger than 15 carats. And it's predicted to have set Travis back $1.34 million. The ring is, of course, very on trend with oval diamonds surging in popularity this year. And according
to... rings that oval.
And according to industry experts, they're popular because they stand out by being less conventional than a traditional solitaire cut. And also they apparently elongate the finger, which I feel like for Courtney, she looks like she's got very small hands. So
they're very fine fingers. I don't know if she needs any help with the ring.
No, but it makes them look longer if you've got a small hand.
I think it's the least garish looking ring out of all the Kardashians because Kim had a massive diamond and so did Khloe. But I feel like this one still looks like a big diamond, but it doesn't look as over the top.
It looks classy. Well, when you compare the price, Kim Kardashian's engagement ring from Kanye West in 2013 was estimated at $5 million, while her ring from Chris Humphries was $2 million. And as you said, they were very garish. I remember back in the day when Diva was the jewelry shop, that was the affordable jewelry shop back in the day. They had replicas of Kim's ring and I got it and it like as a joke and it was just so big on my finger, it didn't even fit. So I do think they've done a very good job at Courtney's ring. I would buy a replica of that ring at Diva if it was still a thing, maybe Lovisa.
Well, if you also compare it to the rings that Khloe has sported. So back in March, Khloe sparked engagement rumors when she posted an Instagram photo to promote her Good American Fashion label, and she was wearing an enormous rock. So she and Tristan kept a tight lip on whether they were in fact engaged, but that ring was predicted to be valued at $3 million, while the ring Lamar gave Khloé was valued at $2.5 million. So Courtney's ring is the cheapest. I mean, still very expensive, but the nicest. Well, did you guys remember back in 2011 in an episode of Courtney and Kim Take New York, Scott actually picked out a yellow diamond engagement ring and he proposed to her at a dinner and she turned him down. I wonder how he's feeling about all of this.
Oh, there's been so many memes about Scott and how he's potentially feeling. Sophie, it was a canary diamond, by the way.
Canary diamond. Sorry. I actually do love canary diamonds. I'm sorry for getting that wrong.
Yeah, that was such a popular ring back in the day. The whole Scott thing, it does come off the back of him messaging Eunice, which was Courtney's former boyfriend, the young model, sort of bagging Courtney out, saying how gross the public displays of affection were. And then Eunice called Scott out publicly. So a lot of people think that he's not dealing well with it. This is despite him having a string of 19-year-old girlfriends since breaking up with Courtney. But it always seems like he has been in love with her from the start. But he's just so toxic. I'm so happy for Courtney to see her finally happy with someone else.
It's like having a job working 24/7 for 2 days on the trot. I don't want to play another task. I hate them.
I just want my life back. Instead of playing stupid tasks all day for a £200 shopping budget.
Last week, Channel 7 revealed Big Brother will be returning to screens next year, but with an all-star lineup. The new format called Big Brother Back to the Future All-Stars reportedly started filming last week, and there's already strong rumours of which old Big Brother faves will be returning. How are you guys feeling about this news?
I'm so excited. I loved the original series of Big Brother. I actually haven't watched Big Brother since it's been on Channel 7, but this has definitely sparked my interest and I'll be tuning in.
I'm feeling so nostalgic. I loved that show growing up. We were in year 7 at the time and I remember watching the finale and being so emotional because I didn't want it to end. You felt like all of them were your friends. I really hope that we see Sarah Marie and Blair back on here because they were just the OGs.
They're not going to be back.
Sarah Marie will not be back. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but I did listen to an interview with her on Mia Freeman's No Filter. I think it was from last year. It was a great episode. And she is just so down to earth. You would not know she was ever famous. She just loves like laying low in her regular life. So I really highly doubt she will feature on the show.
Well, Seven have already released a teaser for the series and they have featured shots of Sarah Marie and of Blair. So I feel like they're trying to maybe trick people into thinking that they're coming back.
Do you guys think that Sky Wheatley will be back? Because she did that whole thing. Remember when it was unearthed that the Big Brother house on the Gold Coast had been trashed and she did a vlog back in it and she keeps always bringing up that she'd love to go back on the show. But I think Bear is quite young at the moment, so and she hasn't disappeared off social media, so I don't think she will.
Well, the other night she actually shared Instagram stories of her re-watching herself on Big Brother.
That's
and she said that she was so naive and young back then and she would love to do it now. So I don't know if that was not so subtle hint that she'll be on it.
Well, the thing is, they're already filming. So if she was in the house, she'd already be there.
Well, she might be an intruder or something.
Well, unless
she'd be a good intruder because I feel like she would say so many controversial things. And it seems like with Celebrity Big Brother, that's what they were trying to get. They were trying to get all these shit stirrers on there or people that say politically incorrect things. And I think Sky would be a perfect candidate for that.
Well, the interesting thing about this series is they're sending in, I think it's 12 of the original housemates, but then they're also sending in 12 new housemates. So that's a bit I don't like about it.
No, I don't want anyone new.
Do we know if it's going to be the original format where they actually focus on the relationships rather than these stupid tasks?
No, I think it's going to be the same.
Oh, are you serious? I can't stand that. I'm sorry. We want to know. We want the storylines. It's similar to Love Island. We want a love story in there. We want to know how the housemates are connected. We want them to shit stir by nominating people. I don't give a shit about seeing them doing stupid challenges. If people are interested in the challenges, do a Friday night up late sort of situation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Friday Night Live, sorry.
Well, it's really exciting because there are strong rumours that Reggie Bird, who won the show in 2003, will be returning, as well as Trevor Butler, who won in 2004. To be honest, I don't really remember that much about Trevor, though. I loved Reggie, but Trevor was someone who was very much under the radar. And then I remember the next year of Big Brother, they actually brought in the system where you could vote to save and eliminate because they didn't want to be in the same boat where they had sort of boring people left in the house at the end.
I remember Trevor being on the series with Ryan Fitzgerald, and Ryan Fitzgerald should have hands down won that series. I wonder with the emergence of Reggie Bird whether Chrissy Swan will be on it, because she's been on Celebrity MasterChef. I'd like to see her back in the house.
She would be great. Do you know who I have also remembered that I haven't thought of for years? Is Brie, who used to host Up Late. Do you remember that she was brought back in the house and she basically came second because she was evicted, and then they realised that they got the votes wrong and brought her back in? And do you know who would be a hero these days? Is Marlon? Marlon. Yeah, Gen Zers would love him because he did the silent protest to free the refugees, and it was such an important message at the time. But I remember there was such mixed media exposure about that whole event.
He was made out to be a villain at the time.
I mean, he was quite aggressive to Gretel Colleen, I'll say that. But
they did show the clip of him protesting in the little teaser for the new series. And the other housemate that's rumoured to be returning is David Graham, who was well known as the farmer, and he came out as gay in 2006. Do you guys remember that? Because I remember it was such a big deal at the time to come out as gay, whereas these days it would be like, so what?
That was a great moment on TV. I think the fact that they did share that story at the time. It's really wild to reflect on it now and to think that that was such a big deal to announce. But at the time, it was quite revolutionary to share his story. And I think it was one that would have stayed with a lot of viewers watching it.
Oh, I remember it. You get goosebumps watching it back. The funny thing is, I remember that year of Big Brother, we actually tape recorded on VHS every single episode of the series to watch back. I feel like we may still have those.
Yeah, we do. So another housemate that's rumoured to return is Estelle Launty. And I had to Google her because I could not remember. She was that skater girl. Does anyone remember? She was in the series in 2012. And what's really interesting is I Googled her. And she was in the Daily Mail a few years ago because she met Justin Bieber out whilst on a snow trip. And so there are all these photos. And it's so weird because on Instagram, she only has 337 followers and she's now a mortgage broker. Whereas
well, that's about to change.
Yeah, whereas Layla, do you remember Layla? It was like Oats a la Layla. They made that song. Yeah. She was in the same series and she has over 52,000 followers. So she's clearly built up a bit of an online following, and she's also rumored to be appearing.
Well, in terms of renowned Big Brother relationships, there is one couple that is rumored to return, and that is Tully Smythe and Drew Anthony. And I would definitely love to see that play out. I have listened to Tully's podcast where she had Drew on the show, and there seemed to be, I don't know, I feel like Tully is still in love with Drew. I know she's got a boyfriend recently and they seem pretty loved up, but, you know, it didn't stop her last time having a
boyfriend. Oh, okay. I can't say that.
I don't think that she's still in love with him. I think she probably feels nostalgic about that relationship.
No, there's still something there.
Who wouldn't have a crush on Drew? He was so hot when he was on Big Brother.
Stunning. Well, there's another couple I'd like to see back in the house. Remember Kat and, oh my gosh, I've just had a mental blank of his name.
Lawson
and Kat. And there was that cheating scandal as well. And I think they're still together. So throw them back in the house as well.
So Dramatic, I believe, is the one that has revealed all of these rumored housemates. So we just want to credit So Dramatic. And I would go and listen to their recent episode on what we might expect from the Big Brother house as well.
And also to jump onto her new website, because she's got a new news website at the moment, which has all of the goss on there too. But I'm super excited for this to air. Apparently it will span over 12 weeks, which is very exciting. And it's being filmed from October to December. So it'd be nice hot weather for the housemates to get out and about in the pool.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken.
And if you would like to join in the conversation, please head over to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.